This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Free Speech Radio News, Washington.
Today, the prosecution in the court-martial for Army Private Bradley Manning questioned the computer forensics expert who analyzed much of the evidence against Manning. The testimony addressed Manning's communication while working as a military intelligence analyst based in Iraq. Manning leaked classified documents on U.S. military actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, including a video showing U.S. killings of civilians and journalists and tens of thousands of U.S. diplomatic cables. The court-martial is in its second week in a military courtroom in Fort Meade, Maryland. For more, we're joined by journalist Kevin Gostola. He's covering the trial at Fort Meade and posting regular updates at firedoglake.com. Kevin, welcome back to FSRN.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the prosecution's witness this morning, Mark Johnson, a computer forensic examiner who looked at emails and files on Bradley Manning's computer. Why did the prosecution call Johnson?
Well, he's there because he is the actual investigator. He put together all of these, the logs. He put together the different data that was able to be gleaned from going over Manning's MacBook computer, the personal computer he was using. And they are able to see what evidence they have of any possible submissions to WikiLeaks, of any deleting of files, the burning of files onto CD rewritable disks, on just anything that would have been going on in terms of receiving emails, perhaps chat logs. The government's been referencing alleged chats between an account that they believe was used by WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange. It's the Press Association account. Although they haven't proven that he was actually the one using this account, it's their belief that he was using this account. And so that's why they put Johnson on the stand, was to get this entered into evidence and have his expertise be shared with the court on what he had found.
So if Johnson had access to that and he was the one who gathered a lot of that evidence, what's new that came from his testimony?
Much of his testimony did come out previously. We already knew about it. However, we're finding some more details about the timeline of events in terms of the disclosures. The defense was particularly trying to use Johnson to show that, as charged, the prosecutors say that this Guarani airstrike video that was this horrible airstrike that resulted in a bunch of civilian casualties, I think well over 100 casualties, and they're trying to prove the defense that the transmission of it didn't occur back in November or earlier, and they're trying to change the date and get it to be April when they believe Manning would have provided the video.
Kevin Gostola is co-author of Truth and Consequences, the U.S. versus Bradley Manning. He's covering the trial at Fort Meade and posting regular updates. You can find them at firedoglake.com. Kevin Gostola, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
That's it for today's program. The newscast was produced by Catherine Comp. Headlines editor was Jess Burns. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Alice Olstein. Our technical production team at KPFA Berkeley is Shauna Ray and Carla West. For more news stories, specials, and our documentaries, visit our website, fsrn.org. Thanks for listening in Los Angeles. I'm Dorian Marina.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, and our new frequency, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. It's 104.3 Philomath and Corvallis. The time is 6:04. Coming up next, I really don't know.
Tune into Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
Yeah.
Our listeners in Corvallis and Albany will be happy to hear that we have replaced the failed translator and installed a brand new translator. KBOO's new frequency for Corvallis, Albany, and Philomath is 104.3.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
This is your host, Lisa Fay, on Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And today, we are bringing you, our listeners, our third annual Pitch a Tent show with interviews from the morning of and throughout the Grand Floral Parade. Right to Survive sponsors a yearly campout beginning the Friday before the Rose Parade and continues throughout the parade. The reason we have the campout is to protest the City of Portland purchasing a permit to allow housed people to come out to the streets and camp overnight for the parade, but houseless people are prohibited from camping for survival. The theme for Pitch a Tent 3 was connected to the Oregon Homeless Bill of Rights campaign. Right to Survive is working with Right to Dream 2, Sisters of the Road, Street Roots, and Dignity Village in a coalition of Oregon organizations, along with RAP San Francisco, to create a bill that would provide equality and dignity to people experiencing houselessness. Now join us as we hear how people enjoyed this year, the camping, the information, the food, the entertainment, and overall atmosphere of Pitch a Tent 3. And stay tuned to the end as we talk a little bit about the lawsuit Right to Dream 2 has going on with the city.
Living off capitalism's ways, so I can fight against the war. 'Cause if you're gonna start a revolution, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. If you're gonna scrap the Constitution, don't have a tea party. No, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. Yeah, it'll cheer you up, yeah. Well, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. Well, you gotta have coffee. Yeah, it'll cheer you up.
I'm Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and here we at Right to Survive annual Pitch a Tent campaign, where we have over 85 tents, over 250 people out here of homeless people, and we have supporters and advocates. And today is the Rose Grand Floor Parade, and today I'm here. What you think about the Pitch a Tent campaign? And can you say your name?
My name is Jess, and I think it's an awesome thing that people come together and fight for homeless rights because they're human beings too.
And did you enjoy the entertainment and anything that was here?
Oh, yeah, it was a good time last night. Party among the people, right?
Okay, thank you. And this is Ibrahim Mubarak. I'm at Pitch a Tent Campaign. Do you mind if I can ask you, did you enjoy Right to Survive Pitch a Tent Campaign last night?
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Now we have to break down all of our tents in our camp, and we still have no place to live.
Well, that's true, and that's the argument, and that's the direct action we're trying to make to the city. And right now, did you know that they find a Right to Dream 2 just 5 blocks down for having people sleep in the area overnight and during the daytime?
I've been there 4 times before to find a place to sleep, and it's just not conducive to my type of lifestyle. Camp in the woods with some trees. I'd like to be able to camp and bring some animals, have goats, maybe cows, horses, and be able to be self-sustainable in my nomadic lifestyle.
And that's good. So would you help us fight to turn over the camping ban so that could be possible?
Oh, for sure. I would love to make a peaceful protest to turn over the camping ban. I think camping ban is foolish because not just homeless people like to camp.
Especially for recreation, right?
Just people who prefer to live outdoors. I don't consider myself homeless, just homelandless. If I had land somewhere, yeah. Yeah.
Also, Right to Dream 2 going to be suing the city on July 11th, and we're going to have a peaceful protest, as you say. Would you join us then?
I can't say that I will because I may be heading out of Portland to more suitable territory.
Okay. Well, you will be there in spirit, right?
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Thank you. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we're here with the author of many, many, many songs that were sung during a Pitch a Tent campaign. I'm here with Lindsay, and I would like to know, how did you think of what you think about the Pitch a Tent campaign?
I think we should do it every night.
What about the crowd and all the tents and people that was here?
I think it was great. Very festive. I did Food Not Bombs, really enjoyed it. We served all our food and wish we could have brought more.
Do you know how many people you possibly served?
It might be better to ask Melody, but she said she was serving a constant line of people for like 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
So
wow.
How many is that? I don't know.
So how many people do you think that came out for this event?
Maybe a couple hundred. I'm not good at counting people, but it kind of seems like, you know, maybe we got a couple hundred.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think we had over a couple hundred, but yeah, in and out. I think estimate we had about maybe 300 to 400 people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you, Linton. We'll see you next year, right?
All right. Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And I'm here at Right to Survive's third annual Pitch a Tent campaign, where we're here getting prepared to watch this floral parade. I'm here with
Brad Gibson.
And Brad, what do you think about the Pitch a Tent campaign?
I'm glad we made it through that night. Anyway, yeah, it looks like you got a new theme song rolling there. R2S theme song, yeah, gotta have coffee.
So what do you think about the crowd we had out here?
Oh, we had a good one last night. Oh, man, it was great. Boy, we had about 5-6 blocks taken, and that was great. Tents all the way up and down the road, and then there's even some privateers out here with their chicken wings and whatnot.
What about the entertainment?
Okay, that was great. It was great. Distorted Organ, I thought that was pretty imaginative. Yeah, anyway, he puts on a hell of a show out here. He's a great MC.
Thank you, man. is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. We go on ground zero in a houseless community. And in this segment, we at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. This is our third annual Pitch a Tent, and I'm talking with two supporters and allies from Seattle, Washington. And your name is?
Heather.
Kimberly. Okay.
And how do you like this year's Pitch a Tent? Is this your first year?
This is my first year, and I think it's amazing.
It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it all.
Is this your first year?
Yes, it is.
How many people you think was here all together?
Oh, man. I say probably about 200-300 people on this strip alone. So, yeah.
So, you think we had about six blocks of tents with homeless people in
it? Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy the entertainment?
Yes.
She's shy, ain't
she? Yes, she is. Can you tell?
Yeah. And so what do you think about the laws that this city allow people that live in houses to put tents up for 1 year to watch a parade and don't allow people who live on the streets not to put tents up?
I think that that's not right, and that it should be anytime that they need a place to stay, they have a right to pitch a tent.
And so what do you think about the city finding a designated area for homeless people to pitch tents?
Well, I don't think there should be a designated area. I mean, this is our land, too. It doesn't matter that we're homeless or not. We have just as many rights as everybody else. We should be able to pitch a tent wherever we choose. There are some states that have, like, free water acts, and you can pitch a tent anywhere within 15 feet of a water source. So, like, that park down there, you can pitch a tent all you want it. And to criminalize people for having a place to stay, that's insane. I've never seen it like this. Before we came to Portland and Washington, we had no idea that there are so many homeless people that actually slept on the streets and don't have a shelter to go to. It's very eye-opening.
And so do you think the city should have more shelter or allow more people to pitch a tent and share the land and share the sidewalk?
I think whatever it takes to get people off the streets and in a warm bed would be awesome.
And just because we're in the street don't mean we're bad people.
Oh, no. Just because people do drugs don't make them bad people. Just because people have mental problems don't mean that they're bad people. We're all people.
So why do they try to separate us? I mean, like in social status.
I think it makes them feel better. It just makes them feel better, you know. They think that they haven't been there, you know. We sleep on the street, so obviously, you know, we ain't got nothing, and we're going to pollute whatever they do have. It's a misconception about homeless people.
And what you think? I guess I don't know for y'all who can't see. So, okay. You know, they tried to pass the city privatizing the sidewalks here in Oregon, and that bill just got defeated. Are they trying to do something like that in Washington?
I think they're trying to make where we can't be in residential or public areas. We can only be on private property, and that's usually churches.
Yeah, they're trying to pass an encampment order that would take away 67% of all land we could camp in, including the tent cities that are already up. It would take away 64% of land we could camp in.
And that's strange that you said that they're taking away from public land. Last I checked, we are the public, aren't we?
Yes, we're the public.
So we should be able to be on public land.
We are.
Thank you all for talking with us. Hey, this will air next Wednesday on cable. I don't know if we got a sister station up there.
No, that's good.
Okay, thank you much. Okay, how you doing? I'm still interviewing people from Seattle, Washington, and today I'm here with
Gene Helms.
Gene, is this your first pitch a tent?
Yeah.
And how do you like?
Better.
Do you know the concept of our Pitch a Tent campaign?
No.
Okay. So, but you just came because...
I came because this is my hometown, and I missed everybody. Okay. I love everybody.
And so what do you think about this Pitch a Tent?
It's awesome.
How many people do you think showed up?
Over 100.
Over 100?
Yeah.
How many tents you think
was that? About 70 or 80.
And what about the entertainment?
The entertainment? Hey, it was awesome. Especially you, Abe.
Okay. So are you going to come next year, Tyler?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'll be back next year.
Okay. Do they have a parade in Seattle where y'all can pitch 10 top once the day I out here?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Hello. This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio again at the Rose Parade. And we was at Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. And we was waiting for the parade. And while we're here, I'm interviewing people here on Ground Zero in Portland, Oregon. And I'm here with
Betty Lee.
Betty Lee, is this your first Pitch a Tent campaign?
No, it's my third.
And how was this?
An old timer now.
And how was this?
This one was pretty good. I think we're getting the organization down a lot better, and the food has improved, and Ibrahim's cheerleading has definitely gone up a couple of notches.
Okay.
Yeah, he can do splits like nobody else.
Okay. How was the crowd this year? Is it bigger than the last 2 years?
You know, it seemed like it was less, but I could be wrong. Yeah, what do you think?
I think it was over like 300 because we ourselves had about 95 tents. Wow. And the other people brought tents, such as you and everything else. So the crowd was more tamer this year.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's great. Yeah, the more people come out and support Pitch a Tent, you know, the better. Yeah, we'll have a much bigger visibility and presence.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that the city allowed people to put tents on the sidewalk overnight to watch a parade and won't allow houseless people to put a tent as a way of survival?
Well, I think it's really unjust. I mean, people need housing. That's a necessity. And they should be able to set up tents or camp out wherever they can so they can have shelter during the night. But they're not allowed to do that, whereas, you know, folks can camp out just for the Rose Parade, just for that one day out of the whole year. And it's not fair. It really isn't.
And even though they have an ordinance, they still harass the homeless people that's putting tents up and not people that come from housing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it really is a waste of taxpayers' money. You know, we don't pay the cops to go around harassing homeless people, because homelessness is not a crime, and homeless people are not, they're not committing any crimes. And even yesterday when it was legal for us to be setting up our tents, I saw so many instances where cops were going around harassing homeless people, you know, telling them that they couldn't be there, telling them that they had to move their tents, and just all kinds of really petty excuses to harass homeless people. Yeah.
All right. Thank you much, Betty Lee. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the parade. I'm still at the Rose Floor Parade, and I'm talking with people paradic, and I'm here with...
My name is James Bazell.
And James, this is your first Pitch a Tent.
This is my first Pitch a Tent. You know what? It was a fantastic, fantastic event. We got a lot of homeless people in tents. We helped a lot of people. We fed a lot of people. It was a lot of love. It was a lot of caring out here. And, you know, I definitely want to be a part of it again, you know? Like much love to y'all. I respect everything y'all do out here and being a part of the R2-D2 organization. And, you know, like, it's just amazing what we can do when we come together and we become one whole entity instead of many divided nations trying to conquer each other.
So what do you think about the people, how many people we had out here last night and today?
I mean, we had anywhere upwards of about 6 blocks, and each block had at least, you know, 15, 16 tents housing anywhere from 1 to 4 people. We had so many people out here, and it really just warmed my heart to know that we did this. Like, no one else did this. We did it. You know, R2-D2, R2-S did this. The city didn't do it. The city didn't care. You know, the city would have been perfectly fine with all of us just sleeping out in the street and rotting away and just our health deteriorating. You know what? We're trying to put a stop to that. You know, and we're going to put a stop to it, or we're going to put a big curve in homelessness in the city of Portland, hopefully around the entire nation.
So what do you think about how the police, I mean, even with a permit being here, how the police were still harassing homeless people in tent?
You know, anytime you get homeless people together like this and you get a city like Portland, you know, they're going to hate on us and they're going to chastise us and they're going to single us out. What they've got to learn is that every single year we're going to do this pitch of 10, and every single year their power is going to dwindle in size as our power grows and strengthens in size. And they're going to realize that if we really come together as one, we can literally overthrow them, not with violence, but with love, with care, and with the all-around sense and purpose that every single human being is the same. We bleed the same blood. If a cop gets shot and I get shot, we're going to bleed the same. We're going to have the same wound. We're going to heal the same. And they need to learn that, and they need to accept that in their hearts.
Do you think they got the message, or do you think they're still ignoring the multitude of homeless people that still need places to sleep that's on the street?
I think the most simplistic way to answer that is to take a lesson from the Bible. Their hearts are hardened right now. But as time passes and as we do this more often, their hearts are going to soften. You know, they have to. No one's heart can be that hard for that long. Eventually, it's going to have to soften. And when it does, that's where we're going to take our sledgehammers of care and our crowbars of compassion, and we're going to break down those walls that they have built up around them, and we're going to see a new community in Portland, a new community all across the nation where we can all just come together, much like Dr. Martin Luther King wanted us to in the first place.
Inshallah, God's will. I hope you enjoy the rest of the parade. Thank you, Mike. Hello, this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm still at the Rose Fur Parade, and so he walks away from me. You don't want to be interviewed, but I'm here with
Art Rios.
And is this your first pitch of tent?
No, this is actually my second pitch of tent.
And so how was it? How is this different than the one you was at before?
Well, last year we had more of the homeless community sitting out, actually staying and watching the parade. But it looks like right now at 10:15, about 10 minutes after the parade has started, that there's a lot more housed people out here taking over the spaces than what we had last year. To me, it's very concerning that once again the houseless community got pushed out by the housed community.
So the object of this was to have the houseless community sit and watch a parade, but as usual, we get pushed out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like I said, I'm looking at it right now that, you know, last year we didn't really have an announcement booth at the end. So maybe that was it. Maybe it was because folks were told that they had to have their tents up by 7 a.m. So it scared a lot of people off, or some folks didn't have a chance to sleep as long as they needed to. So once again, you push them from out of downtown. You know, once again, you know, the city pays for a big permit for this to happen, and the house community comes in and pushes them right out.
And so do you think we have more houseless people this year?
No, actually we don't. We only have just a few of the groups that was here yesterday with, like, Sisters, Right to Dream 2, Right to Survive, Ha Ha, some supporters, and, you know, we got our folks from Sharewell, too. Don't want to miss them out. But it looks like what has happened is our numbers are a lot smaller this year than last year.
And what about last night? What was that? Six blocks, 15 tents per block on both sides?
Yeah, that's about correct. You know, we went from about 4th and Oak all the way down to about Yam Hill. and it was pretty awesome. We had Sisters of the Strength down at the end there, keep an eye on folks. Plus, we had our own little Right to Dream 2 and Right to Survive own security, making sure everybody was fine, not just the house community, but the houseless community as well. Some authentic relationships was there, too, with a few other folks that we know from last year that was here with us. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Could you tell us about the guest speakers and the entertainment that we had last night?
Oh, we had Leo Rose, who is Mr. Pitch-a-Ted himself, who came up with this about 4 years ago, and now we've done it three years in a row. This year's theme was about the Homeless Bill of Rights. We had Mike Crenshaw. We had the executive director from Sisters of the Road. We even had a guest appearance by Mr. Paul Bowden from RAP. He's from San Francisco. He's the executive director there. We also had media here with B Media. We had Street Roots. We have Right to Survive Radio today. So, yeah, just with everything going on, it was some very good things. We had some supporters, individual supporters. We had a young kid named Privacy come up and sing. We had our own Mama Chewy come up and sing. We had a group that came over from Weir, Oregon. And we also had a group build a house right here at 4th and Washington to say, hey, you know, housing for all, you know, equal to everyone.
Thank you very much. I hope to see you next year.
Oh, yes, you will.
And I'm still at the Rose Festival Parade, and I'm here with the Radical Cheerleaders. Yay! And is this you all's first pitcher tent?
No, we've been here before. We came here last year and the year before.
Yeah, we've been here every year from the beginning.
And how was this year's pitcher tent?
It was awesome. It seemed like there weren't quite as many folks watching us as before. The attendance is a little lower. Maybe people are disappointed that it's not raining. I hear it always rains on Rose Festival. but it's always.
I felt that this year there were quite a few people that were a lot more engaged, asking questions, reading our flyer, and cheering for us.
Okay, and what's the favorite cheer that you all have?
We got a lot of favorites, but when we come down here, it's definitely Can't Sit Down.
Okay, you want to give us a little, just one sequel of that?
Sit down, children, I can't sit down. Sit down, children, I can't sit down. Sit down, children, I can't sit down. The man in the suit says I can't sit down.
Yay! And we hope to see you all again next year.
Right on, totally, we'll be here.
More people with us. Okay.
We love you, right to survive!
Yeah, right to dream.
And I'm here with a Digny villager, Terry, and is this your first pitcher tent?
No, this is my third.
And how do you think it was? Was it different this year than it was the first 2 years?
I don't see as many people this year. It's just like there's fewer people coming out to the parade.
What about last night? How many, was it a lot of houseless people? Did we take up more blocks?
I think there was a lot more people last night. We attended a pitcher tent, and it definitely had a longer bill of entertainment going, which was really nice.
And so what do you think about how, even with a permit, the police still want to sweep and move the homeless people?
Yeah, I'm really curious to know if other people who were camped out had to move at 7 in the morning, or if they were told that. And that'd be fun on my way home to walk by and see if there's any tents up and ask them if the police told them to set them down or if they're aware of that. So.
And here goes the beginning, the start of the parade. So I got to let you go.
Yeah,
take care.
Fun.
Bye now.
King Jimmy, he was there. Through hoops he skipped, high wise he tripped. And all the while the glare of the aching, baking spotlight. Clapped furiously, they could not see the joke.
Some might not agree.
As jugglers dance, horses prance, clowns clown endlessly. My trunk to tear the elephant, quite silent, never spoke. The cloud crept desperately. Did not see the joke.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'm Paul. I come up off the streets in New York and lived on the streets in San Francisco for a long time. For the last 30 years, been fighting for the civil rights and the housing rights and the human rights of people that are poor and homeless in this country. You know, one thing we got to remember, we may come from the streets, but that isn't who we are. We are human beings. Whether you're an immigrant, whether you're a worker, whether you're unemployed, whether you're on disability, whether you're disabled and not getting, whether you're in the street, whether you're in an SRO, if you're being treated inhumanely, it ain't right. And an injury to one is an injury to all. And we gotta remember that. This isn't a homeless bill of rights. It's a bill of rights that comes from homeless organizations. It's a bill of rights for all people. When they can tell us that being homeless and sleeping outdoors is a crime, they are telling us to get out of our community. When they can tell us that being a young person of color standing out on a street corner all of a sudden makes you a criminal and puts you up as a conspiracy to commit a crime because you happen to be young and black and standing out in front of a public housing building, that's inhumane. That is a crime to all of us. We talked to 1,300 people. 1,300 people, 81% said that they've been arrested, harassed, or cited for sleeping. 78% for loitering. And then get this, 76% for sitting on a sidewalk. Sleeping, standing, sitting are criminal activities if you happen to be one of those people that the business improvement districts and the local police departments don't want in their community. That's all of us. That ain't just the homeless people. That is every single one of us, because we learned from history with sundown towns and Antioquia laws and Jim Crow laws and the Nazis and anybody else that has targeted one segment of a community. Once they came for the Jews, they came for the gypsies, they came for the artists, they came for whoever they wanted to go after. And when we let them do it to one of us, they're going to do it to all of us. They always have. They always will. It's time to stand up, sit tight, and say, we ain't going nowhere. We live here. We're human beings. We deserve to be here. Thank you very much.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak at the Rose Festival Parade in Portland, Oregon, for Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM.
It's coming through. Queen Katie is writing.
And today we're here with one of former Right to Survive, Right to Dream member, Marcus. What do you think about this parade, Mark?
This parade's pretty cool. It gives a chance to show Portland people what Portland's all about. And I really like it.
Were you here at Pitcher Tent yesterday?
Yes.
Was it your first one?
No.
Okay.
And how was this one different than last year or the first one?
This one, I think a lot of more homeless people came out and supported us rather than last year. A lot of people came by and told us what a good job that we were doing, and we had a lot more people supporting us.
What you think about how the city allowed people that live in houses to pitch tents up, but for aware survival, you can't do that?
Well, my honest opinion is Portland tends to build buildings, they tend to build golf courses, they tend to build a lot of stuff for the local community, but when it comes to the homeless people, they don't get a lot of support. I think if they were to take apartment buildings and lower the income on housing, a lot more people would be off the streets.
And now that we had about 7 or 8 blocks of tents with homeless people in there, why is all the people that wasn't here sitting on this block and watching the parade, are they not allowing the homeless people to watch the parade?
No, I mean, a lot of people are watching the parade, and I think it's a great thing.
Okay. And so what do you think about how when the city do allow the homeless people to watch the parade or pitch a tent, that the police still harass them and not the people who live in houses that have tents also?
Well, I think the police that harass people that live on the streets and live in tents, if they could trade and be in our place, they would see what we go through and the struggles that we go through. A lot of people that live in houses don't think about how hard we have it on the streets and where we don't have a place to go. And living on the streets, anything can happen to you at any time. We hardly get any sleep. We always have to basically be worried about something happening, and they don't recognize that.
So why didn't they harass the people from housing that live in housing that was next to us in tents?
That's a good question. Because people that live in houses are claim to be better people that live on the streets.
How could the police tell which was which?
Well, I think the police stereotype people. They look how you dress, they look how you act. If you come downtown and you have a car and you have nice jewelry and you're dressed nice, they don't mess with you. But if you're not dressed to impress and you're not looking the part, then they want to mess with you.
So do you think next year we should all put homeless people in nice clothes and stuff and see what they'll do?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Thank you very much. How you doing today, sir? You was at Pitch the Tent. What you think about Right to Survive Pitch the Tent, Temple?
Well, I'm thinking this is a beautiful thing happening for a homeless, no matter what, woman, children, and man. It's a beautiful thing happening because you having a spot you can rest, and also you can become useful for a homeless. It's a beautiful thing. I'm having hard fun too.
And what about last night when all the tents, how many tents you think that had homeless people in them last night?
In the tents? Yeah. Oh, like 500, something like that. Yeah, yeah, 500.
Okay, and so you think they enjoyed last night?
It was beautiful. Everybody happy. We take care of the security and no incident, no fighting, nothing. It was safe and sound. And they had that day. I mean, I'm thinking they deserve that day and having a fun together and being a normal.
All right, thank you much. And I'm still here on Ground Zero in Portland, Oregon, and I'm talking with someone about the Right to Survive Pitch a Tent event, and your name is?
My name's Charles Johnson.
And what do you think about the Right to Survive Pitch a Tent event?
It was a beautiful event to see people from the house community come out to work with the houseless and try and do what we need to do, which is essentially rub it in the face of the city that they're idiots when it comes to letting people have safe shelter at night. There's no reason why people should be persecuted for camping to protect themselves from the elements and the cold.
Now, what you think about this ordinance that allow people from the house community to come out and pitch tents on the sidewalk when people from the unhoused community can't pitch tents on the sidewalk?
essentially it's unfair and discriminatory to give housed people a privilege to have a little recreational camping on the streets that is really just survival camping that we people who need to do it can't do the other 364 days of the year.
I know you noticed when you was walking up and down the streets last night, how many homeless people were in tents or on the sidewalk? How many you think were that came out to this event?
Oh, definitely over 100. And there were even some street people who, you know, they're a little bit disconnected. So there were still street people on the streets after we'd filled the tent with street people.
Did you know we had about 6.5 to 7 blocks full of tents on both sides?
Yeah, I guess it was about that long because I kept walking and walking and there were the tents.
So they had to be more than 100 people.
Yeah, probably more.
Yeah. What do you think while we was out here, the police kept coming harassing the house of people that was in tents and not house people that was in tents?
I think it's just ridiculous. The city should actually be grateful that houseless people are taking care of themselves and also reminding the city government of its failure to deal fairly and wisely with the problem of people not having a safe place to be sheltered at night.
Still, they imposing unjust laws on different social status?
That's an excellent point. Yeah, the people who've got a house and can get a fancy tent that looks impressive, can get on the sidewalk and do whatever they want. But a homeless person who's, you know, maybe got a donated tent they've had for a long time or something is still looked down and persecuted. It's definitely discriminatory and unfair.
All right, thank you much. Enjoy the rest of the parade.
Thank you very much.
And this is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And I'm at Portland Floral Parade in Ground Zero, downtown Portland, at the end of Right to Survive Pitch a Tent campaign. And so I'm here with
Emily Miller.
Okay, hello, Emily. Were you out here last night at the overnight pitch a tent campaign?
I didn't spend the night, but I was hanging out at the beginning of it, yeah.
And how many people do you think, homeless people, came to the pitch a tent?
So many. I think it was like 4 or 5 blocks, like both sidewalks full. It was super impressive. Yeah.
So do you think they enjoyed themselves or the message got out to the city that these are all homeless people, we need places, not just one night out of the year?
Yeah, I think it was a strategic location with businesses and stuff, and it made a really important message, and it brought a different perspective to the Rose Parade that's just so, like, showy and silly.
Now, what do you think about the police that was harassing the homeless people that was in tent, but not people who came from the houses that was in tent?
I think it's a perfect representation of, like, the hypocrisy that goes on every single day.
And so, as you notice that there's no homeless people out now because the house people came and pushed them away from the parade.
Perfect. It's a perfect example. Happens every day.
So, do you think the message went out to the city officials or to the public that homeless people need a safe place also?
I think it got people thinking, and I think so, yeah, for sure.
Do you think we need to enforce or to get this homeless bill of rights passed so we all can be equal and treated equal?
For sure. I think that every person, no matter what situation they're in, has a right to have basic human rights provided and have that be acknowledged. Yeah.
Okay, thank you much. Enjoy the rest of the parade.
You too.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM, still on your radio dial, still at the Rose Floral Parade of 2013, and we're enjoying the parade and we're seeing that a massive changeover. At night, the homeless people filled the streets, about 500 of them, 6.5 blocks on both sides, and now during the daytime, they go back under the bridges, back into the bushes, back into the door while the house people come out and enjoy the parade. What a difference a day made. Salam alaikum.
Sees if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people
today at Pitch a Tent?
Well, I'm Lisa Neve, and I'm here with Sisters in Strength. And we're here today to show solidarity to the houseless community, and especially to RTD2 in holding community for the houseless. And just bring awareness that one night a year is not enough to allow camping in the city. The houseless community is a part of our community. And to criminalize individuals who are homeless is a crime. So we're here to kind of spread that gospel and outreach to the community and make this night a tradition in the Grand Floral Rose Parade community of Portland.
Excellent. And you've got a beautiful bed here. Have you had people coming through and sleeping in this bed?
Yes. Yeah. The symbol of the red tent is a symbol of a safe haven where women gathered in ancient times to share knowledge and to nurture one another. So the fastest growing population, homeless population in Portland is women and families. And so we wanted to show solidarity and create a red tent for women tonight, houseless women, to come and gather and talk in community and get to know each other and be nurtured a little bit.
Yeah. That's right. And then so tell us a little bit just about what you're doing. I see you've got food and...
Yeah, we actually had a beautiful outpouring from the women in Sisters in Strength. We were able to make about 100 gift bags for people to hand out with toiletries, food, basic essentials just to... a little comfortable. We're handing out food. We've got some water and just sharing in community tonight.
Great. Anybody else want to add anything?
Sorry, did I say too much?
Just a nice smile.
Everyone's really enjoyed the conversation. We've had artists, we've had jugglers, we've had all kinds of people. We've had people taking a nap, just sleep deprivation, you know, is such an issue for a lot. And just to be able to come in and take a power nap today and not be bothered, it's really been a beautiful thing to watch.
Great. Well, thanks for coming out in support of You're Right welcome. To Survive and Right to Dream, too, and all the women and
Absolutely.
Everybody.
We're glad to be here tonight.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Grant Swanson with Right to Survive Radio. I'm here with Kevin Nolan, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about the lawsuit between Right to Dream 2 and the City of Portland. So what is the reason that Right to Dream 2 sued the city?
In a very real way, we have been denied due process in a way that looks legal. For example, when we were told by the city that in order to stay at that property legally and perform the services that we are performing, we were classified as a recreational campground. Now, a recreational campground means that you have to have things like running water, flush toilets, services that require digging. Prior to us going onto that property, the city, in a dispute with the landowner, one of the landowners, Mr. Michael Wright, had claimed that they had found a broken piece of pottery, old ancient Chinese pottery, and declared it an archaeological site, a potential archaeological site. So for us to do any digging, to come into compliance, we would have to pay somewhere between $150,000 and $250,000 to even propose a plan to the city on how we were going to meet these code requirements. That's for a grassroots organization. That's impossible. I mean, in the beginning, we were having difficulty. We had to be very creative in finding ways of even making our first liability insurance payment. So to respond to take the process through the city's protocol. What it cost is approximately $1,350. Now, that's money that they knew we couldn't afford, and we couldn't afford at a time when we were just getting going. We had no donations. So the game was structured, we feel, in a way that we couldn't possibly succeed. And, you know, this happens. The game is set up to allow people, developers, with money to pay fines, which in terms of cost to sales for them are fairly trivial. But for a small organization, they're a deal breaker. And so we feel that we were, one, treated unfairly. Two, the city didn't even come to talk with us, come up with creative ways of working out a mutually acceptable situation. They went right to fines that they knew we couldn't afford and set up a process that they knew we couldn't engage into. We then responded with a suit. It was a complete breakdown of communication, no negotiation. There was no negotiation. So now we are locked into a very expensive legal battle with the city, which has an uncertain outcome.
And what would the outcome that you would like to see be?
Well, we'd like to see the city waive the fines. They fined us close to $25,000 already, more than doubling the cost of keeping the rest area open for a year. And it hasn't even been a year. We want them to agree to not first to zero out the balance on the fines and agree to not fine us any longer. And we will together enter into a partnership to find perhaps a more suitable location. Ideally, someplace inside. There are, let's say, a half a dozen buildings that are not currently in use within either the Multnomah County or the city of Portland. And we would ideally like to get our people inside. We realize that being outside, particularly during the winter, is hard on them. And it's, what would the city rather see? People sleeping on the sidewalk or in doorways or under bridges where businessmen and perhaps tourists travel? Or would they like to see them inside in a safe environment, or at Right to Dream 2, where at least they have a place to rest both during the day and during the night? We're open 24/7. We allow people to come in and get rest any time of the day. So we think we're augmenting the city's now very austere resources, and we're doing it in an efficient manner. So we'd like to carry on our good work and hopefully expand it, and we'd like to partner with the city.
So how can the listeners of this program support these efforts?
Well, first of all, you can start by calling Amanda Fritz. She's in charge of the Bureau of Development Services. She was given that bureau that used to belong to Dan Saltzman, and it's the bureau responsible for the administration of fines and code violations. Amanda does have the power to zero the accounts and to not fine us anymore. I don't think that needs to go to a city council. So give Amanda Fritz a call. Her number is 503-823-3008. Or you can email her at Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, at PortlandOregon.gov. Portland, Oregon is one word, .gov. And send her an email. Tell her you're in support of Right to Dream 2, our work. You'd like to see the fines stop. And you're looking forward to Right to Dream 2 and the city working together at solutions amenable to both parties. We'd also, if we cannot come to an agreement, we'd like to at least be good neighbors. We are already good neighbors with our Old Town, Chinatown neighbors, and we'd like to have a similar relationship with the city of Portland.
Well, for the folks who don't like to call and don't like to email or think that they're less effective, are there any street actions that people can go to?
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. On July 11th, Right to Dream 2 goes to court for the first time for an initial hearing. It is at the Multnomah County Courthouse Circuit Court. We do not have a time yet, and we do not have a courtroom number, but we will certainly post that on our Facebook page, which is Right to Dream 2. It's on Facebook. If you could come out, stand in court with us, stand there in solidarity. If we could pack that courtroom, that would be make a bold statement to the city that we have are at least have broad public support. If there's not room in the courtroom proper, we'd love it if you stood outside the courtroom with signs and stood on the sidewalk with signs. Anything to show your support that housing is a human right and that Right to Dream 2 is an efficient model for providing emergency shelter for those most vulnerable in the city of Portland.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. And I will be looking forward to seeing you out in the streets on July 11th.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
I'm Lisa Fay, and you've been listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. You've got to hear from people enjoying the Grand Floral Parade and a little about Right to Dream 2's lawsuit with the City of Portland. I hope you will come out and support Right to Dream 2 by helping us pack the courtroom on July 11th, 2013. Come and be an advocate for change in our city and community. Right to Survive Radio airs on the second Wednesday of each month here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And we want to thank all of our interviewees for their thoughts and comments about Pitch a Tent and the lawsuit. Right to Survive meets every second and fourth Thursday of the month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located on Northwest 6th and Davis, from 5 to 7 p.m.